Today on Real Life Radio.
Look what's happening to America right now. America, if it's not America, it's the entire world. The world doesn't know how to think anymore. It doesn't know how to think. You want to confuse someone? Give them facts.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about an event we have coming up. It's called Just Church. You know, in a time when so many people have really stopped going to church due to fear, or maybe pain, or maybe just the convenience of watching online these days, maybe it's time to come back. Just Church is going to be a great time to gather as a body of believers to simply worship, hear a good, clear message, and radically rededicate our lives to the Lord. It's coming up Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. If you'd like some more info, go to justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2C, continues his series called The Book of Philippians. Here now, as we move on into Chapter 4, verses 5 through 9, the Apostle Paul reminds us that God rules and reigns over all things, and fully yielding to Him leads to an amazing life. You'll have a kind of joy and peace that the world has a hard time understanding. You see, we can't just be spectator Christians and expect the Lord to bless us. All of God's good gifts are waiting for us if we just put our trust in Him. The key to having control over our emotions is to meditate on the promises of God. Think about it. If He can govern the heavens, He can govern our lives. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that we need to set our minds on things above and not on things of this earth. We may indeed live in this world, but we're not of this world. Satan wants to destroy our identity in Christ, but our minds are renewed daily when we ask Jesus to be our Savior. Now, with his message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Did you know miscarriages? When a woman miscarries a baby, did you know by far boys are miscarried much more than girls? It's harder for a boy to survive the first 9 months of conception. Isn't that interesting? Most infant mortality at post-birth are boys. And I don't know if that is any connection. I don't know. But as graphic as that is, Satan seems to have a special hatred for women, super special. He will prostitute women. He will deceive women. He's got a special thing. Notice that the Bible teaches that if a woman is not well taught in the Word of God, she seems to be under special satanic attack to be led away with silly sins and things that destroy her. Notice that women as mothers are the nurturers, and the nurturers create the next generation, most often in spiritual depth. Ladies and gentlemen, any church that I've ever heard of, by far more women serve in a church than men. You say, well, that's because men are out doing the jobs. It's interesting. I understand that, but it's not true. Most of the women who serve in a church have kids. It's a lot easier to go to a job than to take care of the kids. That's hard work. I tried that twice. I was homesick one time when Lisa was raising the two girls. I couldn't wait to get better to get back to work. That's hard work. You call a prayer meeting. Who shows up mostly? Women. Isn't it weird? Satan hates women. So in this world, Satan tries to get women to be like men. Think, why? Satan has communicated to women that they're always deficient. Something's always wrong. They're never pretty enough. They're never built well enough. They're never smart enough. Have you noticed that in the world? Where do you think that comes from? It's the exact opposite of what Paul is teaching us regarding these thoughts that we meditate upon. See, the world says dress up so somebody will pay attention to you. I remember years ago, I don't remember who it was, but it was some crazy rock group way back when. And in the interview, I remember it was Rolling Stone magazine, whoever the rock group leader was, The guy confessed, and it was a famous statement, and maybe you know who I'm talking about. But the guy said, listen, all these people pay all this money, and they fill up the stadium to come and see us, and they think that we're gods, and that they need us. And the lead singer said, the truth is, we need them. We need them to come, not for the money, not for the ticket sales. We need their approval as a band, or else we're nothing. Jesus Christ came to set you free from that bondage. And he turns to us and he announces in his word, whatever is lovely, whatever is of great value. And we need to remember that God has created us in his image. Whatever is of a good report, the word good report here is things that you do not have to be ashamed of or embarrassed of. Think on those things, meditate on those things that are of a good report, things well spoken of, things that have a good reputation. And then verse 8 goes on to tell us and to teach us that we're to run with the few. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, listen. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things are few and most valuable. Run with the few. Because that Greek word means virtue. It's an interesting word, by the way. It means of valor. It means few. It's also translated, I'm not kidding, it's translated manly or masculine. So what? I don't think he's talking about any sort of gender attributes here. He's talking about men and women of God exercising virtue, which is valor, and there's only a few. If you're a Marine right now, you put together already the valor, the few, the manly. The Marine Corps are looking for a few good men, a few good with valor. And the Christians to be marked by valor. Understanding that. Excellence of nature, of quality. Praiseworthy. Things that are commendable. Things to pass along to others. It's praiseworthy. You want to give this to your kids. You want to give what's praiseworthy to your grandchildren. It means what benefits, what is of the true meaning of the word welfare, not welfare from the government, welfare. That which will continue on. It will move onward well. Legacy, we would say. To run with the few. Jesus says to us, that broad is the path that leads to eternal destruction. And many people are on that road. But narrow is the way. Straight is that path. Few people are on the road that leads to eternal life. And of course, there's that word meditate. To meditate on these things. It's that word to ponder. Watch. The word means to take inventory of your thoughts. To sit and to ponder through. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. 1 Peter 4, 3 says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles or unbelievers when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries, drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think it's strange. Notice, your old friends, right? They think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you now. You've had a complete change. You're meditating on different things now as a believer. Proverbs 1 verse 10 says, my son, dad, listen, grandpa, listen. This is great words. This is Solomon speaking to his boy. My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. Do not consent. Oh, come on. Don't go. Boy, how many young people today could come up here and say, man, I wish I would have known that verse because I made the wrong decision. Boy, it's been many years ago, but we were in this building, so we had moved on over from the warehouse, but a young man, you read about it in the papers, a young man was at a party in this community. It was late, he had to get home. He didn't have a ride. He wound up finding out that there were three other guys that were gonna be heading back to, I don't know, Yorba Linda or Anaheim, whatever, and he needed to get home. And he, a Christian kid, at a party he ought not to have been at, needed a ride home, gets in a car with three guys he doesn't know. And they had been drinking. Remember this? They had been drinking and doing drugs, but not this kid. They drove through the canyon. and there was an accident and people were killed. This Christian boy was in the vehicle, not intoxicated, but it came down after the investigation that him being in the vehicle, somebody had to be held responsible that was alive, and that kid went to prison. Wrong place, wrong time, his choice. Easy for me to recount the story now. It may have been you and I would have done the same thing at that moment, except for one fact. Was the Holy Spirit saying, don't do it. Walk home. Sleep here, but don't go. Ladies and gentlemen, if I know God a little bit at all, that's what he was saying. Do not consent. Proverbs 1:10 goes on. Verse 11 says, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Don't go. The third and final thing we end here in verse 9. How to have the peace of God when I don't know what to do about me. Well, what do we do about that? Well, first of all, it's time to remember what we know. It's time to remember what we know. Verse 9, Paul says, these things which you, four amazing statements, learned. Wow. Paul says, okay, everybody, here's the deal. Hey, Philippians. And I'd love to be able to say right now, I mean, I kind of can say it, sort of. I don't want to sound arrogant or... But I want to be able to say, if Paul said, hey, Philippians, you know what you learned from me, received and heard and saw in me? Do it. I want to be able to say that to you. Learned. What does that mean? To learn by many and or any way, to comprehend or to understand by exposure. These things which you saw exposed in my life and received, that word received means the things that I've been in association with, the things that I've assimilated into my life, Paul says, the things that I've brought into my life near to me. You guys all watched, you guys all saw, do that. What an awesome, amazing leader Paul was. And the things that you heard. Hey, everybody, you know the things that you said an audience of when I was speaking to you guys? The things that you gave your ear to? The things that you listened with purpose? Remember the things you heard me say? I love this, by the way. It's not the stuff you read about me on the internet. Paul's all about truth. Paul is saying, you know the things you heard me say? Don't you love that? Well, you know, this person, how do you know? Well, I read. No. Did you hear them say it? Well, not actually. You mean, so you didn't hear them say it? No. What is this, not actually? Did you or did you not? You see what I'm saying? There's so much stuff that we think we know about somebody that we heard from somebody else. And we've actually ignorantly become an accomplice to a lie, to character suicide, or murder, as it were, of someone's character.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then Paul says, remember this, remember what you've learned, remember what you received, remember what you've heard. What do we do about ourselves? Remember what we saw. The word saw here is the word to consider, to watch with the intent to copy. We get the word mimic from this, to mimic. It's so cute. When you take your kids, your little kids or your grandkids, and you're walking at the beach or in the mud, and they're behind you, isn't it sweet? The first struggle they have is your stride. So you've got to, listen, if you're going to have them follow you in your footsteps, you got to take small steps. And then you look behind. And what are they doing? Their arms are out like this, and they're going, and their tongue's like this. You notice that? Isn't it great? Did you know kids will automatically do that? Did you know you've never had to tell your kid, hey, walk in my footsteps. Go to the beach. This is a test for you. Take your kids. Find a kid. Just take them. Go down to the beach and watch what the little one will do. They will automatically start walking in your footsteps. It's really cool. Where does this come from? It's from God. Paul is saying, mimic me. Mimic. And I'm going to submit to you today that kids do that automatically anyway. Listen. You know, to mimic, this is old man Paul now. He's near his death. And as it were, he's teaching his kids, all the kids at Philippi. And so he's saying, I want you to mimic me. Say the things I say. Do the things I do. Think like I think. Speak like I speak. So you raise children up to say certain things and to not say certain things. And I don't know how this fits, but last night my granddaughter was over and we were unloading the car with stuff. And at our front porch, there's this flower thing, you know, it's a flower pot thing. And there's a stick in it and it says, there's room for Jesus in this inn. And it's at the door there. My granddaughter's walking and she drops this pillow and she says, Jesus. And I went, what'd you say? And she goes, I said, Jesus. I said, what'd you say that for? Because the timing of it didn't look good. You know what I'm saying? She's 6 years old. It wasn't, oh, Jesus. It was just Jesus. And I said, what'd you say that for? And she goes, Jesus. And I said, what is the context of this name? And she says, because I'm thinking, where'd she get this from? I'm going to go beat up her mom and dad. And it's so cute because she's mimicking. You know what she did? She said, it's right there on the sign. Right there, it's right there. It's this far away from her. She goes, it's right there on the sign, Jesus, right there. I'm thinking, oh. She saw, it just so happened that she was dropping the pillow accidentally. At the same time, she saw Jesus, and the name Jesus came out of her mouth. And me, being the wicked old man I am, put the dropping of the pillow in association with the name Jesus. In her heart, she wasn't even thinking about dropping the pillow. She was thinking about Jesus. She may not have recognized that in this inn we have room for. She only had one word. She only picked one word out of the sentence. It was Jesus. All the words of our lives that are going on, all the noise. Are we focused on Jesus? Or are we focused on that thing or this thing or the other thing? We miss the name Jesus in the middle of the whole thing. These ladies we saw, these young to old, everyone in between ladies, all the great song, great meaning. But didn't you want to yell into that video and say, you don't have to try. It's Jesus. You want to be accepted with or without makeup, with or without cancer, with or without hair, with or without eyelashes. It's Jesus. Where do your eyes land? What are you focused on? You need to remember this. And look, you need to remember what you've been told. Look at verse 9. He says, these things do. These things do. I love him. Paul is a stud. Paul, what do I do about this? I got this thing going on. We got troubles there. We got troubles at home. I got troubles at the job. And you know what Paul would say? Let me think about how I should counsel you right now. All the things that you've heard and seen in me, all the stuff you've read in your Bible, you know what you could say? Do it. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, let's just strip all the junk away. Let's take all the makeup off. Just do it. Amen. But take it off. But remove it. There's no but. Do it. Determined to do it. Well, you don't know the situation. We all got that same whining answer. Obey him. Some situations may be more complicated than others. We understand that. God is all wise. You may be in a situation where, well, Pastor, I just don't see the answer so clearly in the Bible. Get counseling and listen, the answer is there. You may need to be walked to the answer. But if it's of God, it will be biblical. It will be reasonable. It will be, listen, of his nature. A moment ago, I read where it says women ought to be submissive to their husbands. That doesn't mean you go back home and be a punching bag. Well, the Bible says for you to submit, not to some demoniac lunatic. I'm serious. You don't subject your kids to violence. Read the whole Bible. God condemns no one to some plight of evil. Go with what you know and obey what he has said. And you look at the closing remarkable promise given to us. Look at the end of verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. Boom. You can almost see stars and fireworks go off. Right. Isn't that the goal? Simple answer. Simple conclusion. God blesses obedience to his word. I'll leave you with this final verse. Man, is it powerful. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected or made complete among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Isn't that amazing? You ever think about that? Because as he is, so are we in this world. People are supposed to mistake us for Jesus. Wow. Oh, Lord in heaven, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And Lord, I pray for this body of believers. This is a church all unto itself, just in this room right here, right now. The doors are opening up, and this clam-shaped building is going to exude, infuse people, church, believers, mimickers of God, out. The doors are going to open. People are going to be distributed into the world that's around us that is dying. And they're all dressed up. They look great. They look fantastic, but they're dying. They don't look like they're dying. They don't smell like they're dying. But the inside of them is shriveling up and away. And Heavenly Father, I pray, we all pray, Lord, as believers, that you'd baptize us afresh now in the power of your Holy Spirit. God, come upon us for this hour in which we live. And may we go forth today, Lord God, energized, so happily impressed with your possession of us, that, Lord, as we go about seeking, looking, open for every opportunity to infuse the gospel of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God, the cross of Christ, that, Lord, we would so sense your presence. And that even this day and from this moment on, we would recognize this is, I see, I sense, the peace of God is with me. Heavenly Father, we absolutely adore you, God. And we can't wait to see you again. Until we do, may we be faithful to act like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2C. Thanks for listening today. How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians, a letter from Paul who surrendered his life to Christ for the sake of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Jack Kibbs, and I'm excited that this Friday we're getting together on September 8th at the Honda Center for Just Church. The event is to gather people who have gone away from us. Maybe they're not fellowshipping anymore. Invite them back and let's have an evening of worship, the Word of God, and to make a radical recommitment to Christ.
That's this Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center for Just Church. The event and parking are totally free. Go to JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Kibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.